Thank you, ensemble. That was a blessing. Fantastic singing. Good song. Exciting. I like that. 1 Corinthians 15. You talk about exciting. 1 Corinthians 15 is exciting. And it's talking about victory over death. Talking about the resurrection. It's exciting. And I don't know of anything any more exciting. The resurrection. The book of Acts. All the excitement in the book of Acts, the people were excited about the resurrection. They were excited that their bodies may die, but they're not going to die. Because I live, Jesus said, you too shall live. And the resurrection is the message that I believe the early church was hanging on to and excited about. And they went out and did great, great works for the Lord because they were excited about the resurrection. And in 1 Corinthians 15, and verse 58 is our text. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Father, please bless the preaching tonight. Thank you for all the music, for the great spirit tonight. We look forward to what you're going to do now in our lives through your word. And I pray we'll listen, and we'll listen expecting something to happen in our lives. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You look at verse 58, and many times in reading this passage of Scripture, we read different portions of it, but we don't get to verse 58. And I've done that many times. Easter, we'll preach about the resurrection, and typically I've even got a little mark here one time. I don't know when, but I preached verses 55 through 57. I've preached verses 53 through 57. I've preached verse 51 and 52, talking about the rapture. And but a lot of times we'll preach all that, and then we don't ever get to verse 58. And yet verse 58 might be the most important verse in the whole passage, other than nothing's more important than the resurrection, but it's our command. It's our orders. And he starts it off with the word therefore. And therefore means on the basis of what you just read. And so many times we'll read about what we just read, and boy, we're fired up, we're excited. But then we stop and we need to get the therefore. Because therefore, he says, based on the resurrection, based on verses 51 to 52, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. We shall all be changed. Talked about that this morning in Sunday school class, and the idea that, you know, one of these days you won't be sinful. One of these days you won't have the flesh that you have now. One of these days you'll sit and hear preaching and you won't be pulled at by your flesh to not pay attention. You won't be pulled away with wicked thoughts in your mind. You'll be able to listen, and you'll be able to grow and be excited about the things of God. Because one of these days, we shall all be changed. And in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, the trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible. We shall be changed. Praise God. Hallelujah. So he says, based on that, based on that. And then based on this corruptible must put on incorruption. Glory to God. Based on the fact that verse 54 says death is swallowed up in victory. Based on death, where is thy sting? Grave, where is thy victory? Based on verse 57 that says thanks be to God which giveth us the victory. I said we're not going to lose. I said we win the victory. Based on that, he says, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. He said, based on the resurrection, based on victory, based on death, where is thy sting? It's gone. Based on the rapture is going to take place, and we're going to be changed. Based on our heavenly home, based on the great future, he says, okay, you're still here. But he says, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. He said, it's not based on, that's just my command. He said, you have my promises. You have the promise that victory is coming. You have the promise that you're going to be changed. You have the promise you're not going to die. Oh, your body will, but that's a good thing because you'll have a new body. It'll be a sinless body. It'll be an arthritis-free body. It'll be a sickness-free body. Amen. In heaven there won't be sniffles ever again. You won't have that problem. You won't need nose spray anymore. You won't need asthma spray anymore. I mean, in heaven, understand, based on the fact that that is our future, that's what we have. He says, okay, you don't have that now, but he says, you be steadfast. You be unmovable. And you always abound in the work of the Lord. I've pulled one of those verses out, and I want to talk to you about that tonight, and that is the word. I pulled out one of the words out of that passage, verse 58, unmovable. And I love that word, unmovable. And what that means is not to move away from. Obviously, we have action going on in verse 58. He says, be steadfast. That means if I'm growing, I need to keep growing. Okay? But then he says, unmovable. Well, now, wait a minute. How can I be steadfast and how can I also be abounding if I'm not moving? He just says, you have your roots down. Don't move. Don't move, but grow where you're planted. Grow and work where you've been planted. Grow and become as tall as you can, as great as you can. Do the greatest thing, but you have your foundation that is already set, and that foundation is a victorious foundation. It is a future cannot be better foundation. He says, now you don't move. Unmovable. Do not move away from that. Not moving away from. That's what it means. Oh, you're still abounding in the work of the Lord. You're steadfast in growing in the Lord, but you're not moving away from what you've always believed. Maybe the biggest temptation we have is to move away from what we believe. Maybe the biggest temptation we have is we're on fire for God and we've got things, we're growing in the Lord and we seem to know what we believe and we're getting excited about our salvation and Satan's just constantly trying to get us away from it. There is always some new thing out there, always. There's always some new thing that's going to pull on you. There's always some new belief, some new idea, and I say new idea, but Solomon said there's really nothing new. It's all the same old stuff, and it all goes right back to hell. And it all goes right back to a devil that just kind of wants to move us around and shift us around because, as I preached not too long ago, Psalm 1 talks about being planted, and when you're planted, all you can do is grow. And when we get planted and then unplanted and then planted and then unplanted and we just keep being moved around everywhere, we never do anything for God. There are so many people doing nothing for God because they move. And so God says, be unmovable. I want you to abound. I want you to be busy in the work of the Lord. I want you to be steadfast in growing in the Lord. But he said, I don't want you to move. I don't want you to move. Unmovable. And I love that. Unmovable. We live in a day of change. Everything is changing. It's almost like, you're so old-fashioned. Well, they've been saying that about independent Baptists for years. They told Jesus, I'm sure, that he was old-fashioned. And, but the truth of the matter is, the truth never does change. Amen. New truth must come from old truth to be true. Amen. That's true. Otherwise, it's not truth. You know, hey, I come up with a new thing. No, you didn't. You didn't come up with a new thing. And because, listen, new truth must come from old truth in order to be true. So many change. Can you imagine all the changes we've seen? I mean, honestly, the idea that a Baptist churches, would have the Super Bowl during their service instead of a church service and try to squeeze in a little sermonette at halftime. Honestly, think back 20 years ago. That would never even be talked about. Nobody would ever suggest it. And yet that's... Nowadays, you're almost, they look at you funny like, you mean you don't show the Super Bowl in your service? How foolish. You mean you still have altar calls in your church? Go back 20 years ago and understand, independent Baptists not having an altar call? Go back 20 years ago. Go back 15 years ago, honestly. I mean, thank God for people who said, I'm not going to move. I'm going to do what Jesus said. If it was right then, it's still right. Amen. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And that unmovable is talking about you and your beliefs. Don't move away from it. You know, understand this. It's not people changing their position. Change is their position. It is a, and by the way, that all goes back to that old thing called evolution. You know, that false doctrine of evolution. That false idea that man is getting better and better and better and better and better. Truth is, man is getting worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. And when you take the idea that we're supposed to be changing, you're headed for big trouble in the things of God, because I am the Lord thy God. I change not. I'll tell you what, once you get it and once you have it and once it's real in your life, you need to understand, don't move away from it. Do not. Unmovable. We have a chameleon Christianity today. Amen. You know, changes because of pressure. It changes because, well, the people want this. Since when has it ever been about what the people want? Help me out a little bit here, folks. It has never been about what the people want. It's about what God wants. It's never been about, well, you know, this will make people happy. It's never been about making people happy. Hello. Never has been. Pressure. Oh, there's a lot of pressure. A lot of pressure to move. Always. A lot of pressure. You know, this position of change is because of pressure. It's because of popularity. Well, we want to be the popular church. It's never, but Jesus wasn't popular. I preached this morning, and he was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief. It's never been about Jesus being popular. Never. What's it about? It's about him being the Lamb of God. It's about him dying on a cross. It's about him paying for our sin that, again, is not popular to preach about. But it is sin, and it's why he died on the cross. I don't know how you preach the cross without talking about the sin that put him on the cross. Oh, it's about pressure. It's about popularity. It's about payment. Because that's where the money is. But you know what? For folks that are independent fundamental Baptists, it never has been. Never has been. And you know what? It shouldn't be. It shouldn't be. It should always be about the truth of the Word of God and the willingness to preach that truth and the willingness to preach it and not be embarrassed of it and not shy away from it and just preach the Word of God. The devil wants change because he wants trees uprooted. He wants Christians uprooted. And because as long as they're uprooting, you know, church hoppers, they never do anything for God. Never. There's no fruit. You uproot a tree and you move it and you uproot it and you move it, you uproot it and move it. You're not going to get any fruit off that tree. But let it be planted in the right place, as Psalm 1 talks about. The devil wants change. We have so much change going on today. Again, it's not a position of change. Change is the position. The idea is we're supposed to always be looking to change. You know what we ought to be always doing? We ought to be always looking to stay. Yeah, I know some of you don't like that. We ought to always be looking to stay. If it works, we stay. If it's right, we stay. If it's right and it works, we have a bonus. If it's right and it doesn't work, we still do it. Anyway. Amen. It is good. Somebody, I heard one person squeakily say it's good. It is good. I'd wish you wouldn't squeak.
It's good.
Thank you. The Southern Baptists they've changed so much. It's unbelievable. And because now there's so many of them are in a position. Can you imagine Baptists, any kind of Baptist ever even discussing whether a woman should be a pastor or not? I can't imagine. Can you imagine any kind of a Baptist ever even discussing whether a homosexual should be a pastor or not? I don't even believe that that would be in a discussion among any kind of Baptists. I don't know if you read about the Presbyterian Church in Tecumseh. They're having war over whether who gets the property because of homosexuality and women pastors. And again, you know, we kind of read all that and we just say, oh yeah, that's how it is. But that's because they get in a position that is change. It's just always, well, if the world's doing this, we need to kind of go along with it in a religious way. Hog slop. We're God's people. We're God's children. We're going to be resurrected. We're going to be changed. We're going to be like Him. He's not going to become like us. I mean, glory to God. I mean, we have the victory. He said, therefore, don't move. Be unmovable. Amen. We watched the Mennonites in Bern, Indiana for years. And you know, you have the Amish, and you have the Mennonites, and then you have the liberal Mennonites, and then you have, you have the Amish, and then you have what we called the jerked-over Amish. They had cars. And then you had, and you had all the different things. And it's like, come on. What do you people actually believe? Hey, let me ask you, what do you actually believe? Is this book the Word of God or not? I mean, do we have the Word of God? Is the King James Bible the Word of God or not? It amazes me that that is even discussed by Baptists today, whether, well, is it or not? How could you wonder? If it's not, how do you sleep at night? If it's not, how do you ever go to a funeral? If it's not, why in the world do you pray? If it's not, throw all that out. If we don't have it, then who does? Hello. No, God wants us to be unmovable. If it was good enough then, it's good enough now. If it was right then, it's right now. If the King James Bible is the Word of God, and it was then it is today. If soul winning was right then, it's right today. If separation was right then, it's right today. If an altar call is right then, it's right today. If the bus ministry was right then, it's right today. If having a prayer life, I said a prayer life rather than a prayer time, was right then, where God's people prayed, amen, and they prayed. They talked to God. They didn't just have a ceremony. They talked to God. They got on their face before God. If repentance was right then, it's right today. If getting right with God was right then, it's right today. If being able to tell somebody they're not right with God, or to preach that maybe we're not any of us right with God, was right then, it's right today. I mean, the truth is, many aren't right with God, and we ought to preach about it so that we can get right with God, but we don't know we need to get right with God because there's always somebody patting us on the back saying, it's okay. I don't want your feelings hurt. Whatever happened with good old-fashioned tears at an altar, weeping as you come down the aisle, and getting right with God where you really get right with God. But you know, it's just times are changing. Mm-hmm. If Bible reading was right then, it's right today. If being in church and being faithful to church is right then, it's right today. Being unmovable. Unmovable. Unmovable when things are good. Unmovable when things are bad. Unmovable in a trial. Unmovable in temptation. Unmovable. All the time, just plain old unmovable. When a loved one dies, I'm still not going to move. Till Jesus comes, I'm going to be unmovable. I believed it when I was young. I'm going to believe it when I'm old. In fact, I'm going to believe it more. You should. What are you saying? God doesn't want you to change. God wants you to be unmovable. That's what the world needs out here. The world needs to be able to count on Berean Baptist Church. Well, I know what they're doing, but boy, I know those people over there, they'll never do it. Oh, how sad it would be the day the screen comes down and we've got football on there on Sunday night, Super Bowl night, and there's football on the screen. Can you imagine? Instead of preaching, instead of an altar call, instead of people's lives being changed, we're going to watch football? Wow. Four areas God doesn't want you to change. Number one is unmovable faith. Unmovable faith. Colossians 2, verse 6. Colossians 2, verse 6. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. I received him by faith. Now I need to walk by faith. We're very sight-oriented, folks. That's your position of change. It's because what we see, we're looking too much. Look at that church. Look how big they are. Look at them. They say they're Christians. Look what they're doing. It's happening to so many people that used to sit right out here. You know, well, they say they're Christians. Look at them. Look what they do. Well, they say they're Christians. Look how they dress. They say they're Christians. Look what they go to. They say they're Christians. Look how they live. They say they're Christians. They say that. Well, hey, what? Look at him. Get your eyes on Jesus. Let's get our eyes on him and let's understand that it's never been by sight. It's always been by faith. I was saved by faith. I prayed. I didn't see Jesus when I knelt. I didn't see Jesus when I fell on my face and I cried my eyes out and I said, oh God, please forgive me. I'm lost. I'm going to hell. I believe God. I believe what you said. I believe in your word. Oh God, save my soul. I didn't see him. Did you? What was it? It was just by faith. It was all by faith, totally by faith, completely by faith. There was no sight involved in it at all. It was just, God, I believe you. Why have we gotten away from that? Why do we have this idea somehow that we don't need to believe him anymore? He says, as you received him, walk in him. Walk, just like you got saved. Colossians 1, verse 23. Look what it says. It says, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you've heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. He said, continue, grounded, settled, be not moved. Don't be moved away from it. It's right. Stick with it. Hey, how were you saved? I was saved. I heard the Romans Road over and over and over again. Heard how to be saved. Heard it over and over and over. I heard a message on the second coming, decided I didn't want to be left behind. Amen. That's, you know, that old-fashioned conviction. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, I'm tired of going to church and not feeling good. Man, you're tired of not growing. Amen. It's like you watch that little baby, and they start to crawl around, and next thing you know, they're walking a little bit, and next thing you know, they're trying to walk, and they fall. And they get up, and they toddle, and they fall. And they get up and they toddle and they fall. Now we can eliminate all the falling and they just never grow and they never walk. And that's the way so many Christians are. I don't want to fall, so I won't take a step. Remember, our steps are by faith. And I got news for you. You take enough steps by faith, somewhere along the line, you're going to fall down, you're going to go boom. And you're going to need a Band-Aid for your boo-boo. Amen. But in the band-aiding the boo-boo process, God's saying, I love you. God's getting close to you. God's teaching you. God's showing you. And God's strengthening you so you can take another step by faith. It's always by faith. Well, look at all those people. But they're babies in Jesus. They've never grown in the Lord. That's all they do. Hey, what do you want to be? Do you want to grow or do you not want to grow? It's steps by faith. It's saying, God, I don't see, but I trust you. You said step. I step. You said turn, I turn. You said go straight, I go straight. I don't know what's in front. I don't know what's going to happen, but God, I trust you because I trusted you with my soul. I'll trust you with my steps. Every one of them. That's why so many won't do God's will. Because, well, they're happy with what they're doing. Yeah, but wait a minute. What about you? Amen. Don't change. Unmovable. I love it. Unmovable faith. Don't doubt it. Don't change. Did you call on the Lord? Praise God. Keep calling on him. Did you believe God's word? Praise God. Keep believing God's word. Did the blood of Jesus Christ cleanse you? Praise God. It still does. Was it Jesus' perfect, sinless, spotless blood? Amen. It was. It still is. It still is. He's still the Savior. He's still the Son of God. He's still the Messiah. He's still the Christ. He's still the Anointed One. He's still the Shepherd. He's still the one who died on a cross to pay for my sin. He's still the one who was born of a virgin, miraculously born.
They say that's not very possible. Listen to me. Who cares what they say? It's still true. It's still right. He is still Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And you know, was it all grace and no works, or did you have a little bit of part in your salvation? I'll tell you what, when I fell on my face at the age of 17 and I begged God to come into my heart and save me, I knew I was a dirtbag slime ball. Well, Pastor, you cleaned up. You cut your hair. Yeah, and it's self-removed. And you put on a suit. Let me tell you something. Nothing has changed as far as what I am and what I needed to be saved. I am still a dirtbag slime ball that is lost without Jesus, on my way to hell without Jesus. Were it not for the grace of God, I would have maybe been drowned in my own puke last night. Oh, but we become professional. Yeah, we become professional not believing what God said anymore. We think somehow we're something, we're nothing. We need to be saved. And we can't get away from the fact that we had to be saved just like the drunk, just like the harlot, just like the drug addict, just like a murderer, just like anybody on the face of this earth. We had to be saved. And if we don't get saved, we die and burn in hell just like they will. There is no difference. But see, we've always believed that, but all of a sudden that's not very popular in our day. So any works can save you? No works can save you. You had nothing to do with it other than the fact you were drowning and you reached up and said, I need saved. Period. That's it. You know what? We need to be unmovable in our faith. We need to, you know, Satan wants you to doubt your salvation. Unmovable in your faith. He wants you to think you can lose your salvation. Unmovable in your faith. I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. He is able. He was able to save me. He is able to keep me. I was not able to save me. Therefore, I'm not able to keep me. But hallelujah, he is able. He is able. And I'm not able, but he's able. That's what I believe. You say, but can you prove it? Yeah, I can prove it. The book says so. That's all I need. It's by faith, by grace through faith. That not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. I know what I believe. What do you believe? If you waver on the Bible, it's not going to be long and you'll waver on your faith. The devil can't take your faith, but he can shake your faith. The Bible says in Proverbs 22:28, remove not the ancient landmark. And those things that are ancient, those old-fashioned things, those are good things. We need to hold on to them, and we need to not move. Unmovable faith. Number two is unmovable faithfulness. Unmovable faithfulness. He says, let's go back to our text. I got to go back. Back in 1 Corinthians 15. He says, always abounding. Always abounding. Some of the time about, no, always abounding in the work of the Lord. That's should be our life. You go to work at GM or Ford, you're abounding in the work of the Lord. That's the work of the Lord for you. You go to work at wherever you work at, that's the work of, it's hey, this is God's work. God gave me this job. I'm going to serve him. Unmovable faithfulness. Hebrews 10, verse 25. Look at it real quick. Hebrews 10, verse 25. By the way, these are things everybody used to believe. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So much the more as you see the day. Well, is the day approaching or not? Do we believe that? Do we believe he's coming again? Do we believe the day is approaching, or are we just so numb to the fact that Jesus is coming again? Look around you, folks. What day? What are you talking about? Well, we could be talking about the coming of the Lord, or we could be talking about terrorism in America. We could be talking about people coming in and breaking through the doors there and putting guns on everybody and telling you to deny Christ, like they do in many countries. Don't think it can't happen here. What are you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about when the liberals take over and who want to cut our throats and who talk about the idea that we want to sing about the blood of Jesus. They'll watch our blood run down our own altars. That's what I'm talking about. I mean, so much the more. What day is approaching? I don't know what day is approaching. I just know this, that if it was approaching then, it must be approaching a whole lot more now. And so he said that we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. That means assemble. That means get together. That means we need to be together. And we shouldn't forsake that. It ought to be more and more. It's an unmovable faithfulness. God's looking for that. I'm talking about church attendance. I'm talking about church function attendance. I'm talking about doing things with your church family. That used to be automatic. Preachers preach on that all the time. That was just an automatic thing. It was like, bless God, we're going to do this. Everybody comes and we're going to do it. And everybody's just, you know, well, that's just what we do. Well, why do you do that? Well, we do it because we believe God. That's why we do it. God said so. That's why we do it. Amen. We're losing people left and right, Christian people, to television and radio programs so they can sit in their underwear and be fed by God. Yeah. I'm talking about unmovable faithfulness. Used to tithe. Why don't you tithe anymore? Things are tight. But you didn't tithe because things were untight. You tithe because you believe God. We gave over and above because we believe God. That's why we did it. We didn't do it because it was a good deal. When has tithing ever been a good deal? I mean, you can't talk to, how many of you have accountants? Raise your hand, be honest. You actually have an accountant. Oh, come on. Yeah, sure. Let me tell you something about your accountant. Tell your accountant. I've had people tell me all the time, my accountant doesn't like what I give. Have you ever heard that before? Raise your hand if you've ever heard an accountant tell you, my accountant, yeah, you know. Yeah, they get all bent out of shape. You know, this giving to the church. Well, no, it's tithing. Yeah, that really bothers me. Do you know how much you gave? Yes, I do. Well, do you know what percent? Well, I have a pretty good idea. What's that mean? I'm obedient, what it means. That's all it means. Amen? Tithing, giving, amen. I mean, it's called faithfulness. It's called, things are tight, but I'm going to be faithful anyway. We don't have the ability, but God laid on our heart to, good, amen, praise the Lord. That's what 2 Corinthians 8 is all about. That's what our Faith Promise program is all about. We don't have the ability, but over and above our ability, over and above our ability, taps into His ability, and that's fun. And it used to be fun. And you anymore, it's like, oh, another offering. Pastor's house burnt down. Why is that our responsibility? Hello. You say, preacher, nobody would. Bible reading, faithfulness, unmovable. Prayer time, unmovable. I'm going to pray. So much the more. What's that? To me, I'll be honest with you, that means to me, it ought to be more and more instead of less and less. But again, we get in that change thing. It's not, well, you know, I mean, that's really not popular. it's good to preach and talk about, but to expect people to really pray. I mean, to actually take time in the evening when all the good TV shows are and go to a cottage prayer meeting? I mean, what is wrong with you? Are you serious? I mean, you know, if we'll cancel our service to watch the Super Bowl, right? Doesn't seem like we would ever just cancel our plans and go pray. So are you about done? You know, the notes are running out, but there's a whole lot here still. So much the more, he says. So much the more. So much the more service. But you know what I'm seeing? I'm seeing so much the less service. Somebody left a church one time that I was pastor, and they said, all you talk about is serving God. Okay. Okay. What do you want me to talk about? What's the best thing for you? I don't know. I've been studying Revelation. Brother Hawkins, we're having a good time, aren't we? Book of Revelation. I mean, we're talking about, I know thy works is what Jesus said. I know thy works. I know thy works, he said. I know thy works. Okay? Wouldn't it make sense somebody loves you and cares about you is going to say, hey, you know what? Jesus is keeping track of your works. And they're going to cheer you on to work. They're gonna be trying to get you to work, trying to get you to serve, giving you opportunities to do something. Because Jesus said, "I'm watching your works. I got it all keep track of it. And that used to be, you know, again, years ago, that was just kind of what we expect. And now it's well, I was told that I don't have to serve God to be a good Christian. Okay. All I know is Jesus knows our works. He's watching your works. I pity a lot of guys at the judgment seat of Christ, and their members get nothing. Again, it's not a punishment. There's no punishment at the judgment seat of Christ. It's all rewards. But I just cannot imagine. You know, I'm anxious. When Daryl and Phyllis White's name's called, I'm kind of excited about that when they go up and Jesus gives them their rewards. I'm excited about that. I'm their pastor. I like that. Amen. Kathy Morin goes up and we're all cheering and excited. Yes, we will be cheering, by the way. And we'll be clapping too, by the way. And we'll be rejoicing too, by the way. And if you don't believe in it, you'll just have to frown in heaven. And Kathy Morin gets up and she's there and I'm going, amen, hallelujah, glory to God, praise the Lord, amen. But I'm going to keep preaching to her about keep going. And I'm going to keep yelling and screaming and hollering and shouting and all of those kind of things. Why? Because he's keeping track of her works. Amen. Amen. Of course, nobody would get upset when somebody's trying out for the Olympics and they have a coach and the coach is saying, run! Run! You need to run! Run until the sweat pours! You say, that's right. That's right if you're going to win the trophy. That's right, you listen to that coach. Pastor, back off a little. Back off of us a little bit. Come on, don't you know we're tired? Don't you know we can go other places? I know it. I do. But I just know Jesus is keeping track of your works. I want you to get all the rewards you possibly can. That's shouting time there. Some of you are going to shout and you're going to learn how. Honestly, it's going to be, we'll have shouting lessons in heaven. Okay, try this. Yes!
Yes!
Okay. Yes! All right, that's a good start. Say this. Amen! It'll come. I'm just about done, according to my notes. Amen. Unmovable. But see, used to, that's just how it was. People actually were excited to serve God. It was a privilege. I tell the story, and I tell on myself, and it's okay, but I love the story of the paint and the swing set because I just thought that's what people did. I mean, I don't ever want to be different. Honestly. Sometimes we'll say, who will do this? And it's like, amen. Somebody once told me, said, if you keep preaching on soul winning, I'm going to go somewhere else. Well, if I was dead, I'd go to a cemetery too. So I'd feel more comfortable. But it used to be just common knowledge. That's what we do. We started our church in Bern, Indiana, and we started our Wednesday night service, and it wasn't a Wednesday night service like you've ever seen. We just started teaching soul winning. People all came. We had about 15 folks came to our Wednesday night service, and we just started to, okay, here's what we do. We go tell everybody about Jesus, and they're all going. I said, yep, and they said, how do you do that? You rent a building, or, I mean, like you did for, nope, we'll just go knock on their door. Really? I said, yeah, that's what we do. Well, I mean, is there any other way to do it? Nope, that's just what you do. I still see, we have a picture of our little group, our little soul winning, our first group. And the first night, we spent about 10 weeks and on Wednesday nights, and they kept coming back. And I can still see them. You know, well, what if I can't... Oh, it's okay. God bless you, man. God's going to be with your mouth. And you know, that guy, it's like, he will? Yeah. Oh, yeah, you know. And it was everybody just kind of believed it. They just believed it. Oh, dude, such great stories and great memories. You know what God says? He says, unmovable. You know, you used to. Why don't you still? Huh? Yes. Someone once told me, left our church, said, well, I left, now I get the gospel without all the other stuff. Oh, I love stuff like that because it's so stupid. So all that gospel, and I ask, where are the souls saved? Hebrews 6 says we get the gospel and then we're supposed to go on and grow. Amen. By the way, if you'll really check out what Jesus preached most, he preached all the other stuff. Amen. Amen. Unmovable faith, unmovable faithfulness, unmovable friendship. I preached it this morning, but I want to talk again about it. Proverbs 17:17, it says, a friend loveth at all times. That was one I left out this morning because I knew I was preaching this tonight. A friend loveth at all times. Amen. Unmovable friendship. Be a friend. Be a friend. If you weren't here this morning, you ought to get the message from this morning about being a friend. Amen. Guy backslides, be his friend. By the way, being his friend doesn't mean doing what he does. That's not a friend. Iron sharpeneth iron. We should be lifting them up, not dragging us down. Amen. Speak the truth in love. You do right, you take your stand, and you leave the door open as a friend. Amen. I told this guy today, I mean, come on, the guy was drunk. He about knocked my door down. Huh? And I said, you got a friend. Does that mean he and I are going to go drinking next week? Hello? Does that mean that we're going to go to a rock concert together? Huh? No, I'm going to be his friend. I'm going to try to help him. That's what a friend does.
Well, I just thought, you know, I could do what they do and maybe they'd change.
No, what happens is you're going to change. Be a friend. Be a friend. Stand. Jesus is the very best friend that we could possibly have. He doesn't change. He's still who he is. He's God. Amen. It's so popular to cut off friends when they sin, but you'll never find that anywhere in the Bible. Never. A friend loveth at all times. And the last thing is unmovable following. Ephesians 5:1, look at it real quick. Following. Ephesians 5 and verse 1. Be therefore followers of God as dear children. Remember when you first got saved? I still remember. I was like a little kid. Makes sense. You must be born again. If you're born, you're a baby. And I was like a little kid. Honestly, whatever God said, well, I believe that. Didn't understand it all the time, but I believed it. Be therefore followers of God as dear children. Following. Unmovable. Okay, I followed him at the age of 17. Now I'm 54 years old. I'm going to keep following him. Like a child. I'm going to follow him. He's still smarter than me. Oh, I know, you're smart. I know. But you know, you're never too smart. As dear children, he says. Be like his child. And you're never too smart. Come on, parents. Your kids are never going to be smarter than you. Oh, they may have more book smarts, but they're not gonna pass you. Because when you die, you go to heaven, you'll be much smarter. I know they may be able to spell words you don't even know how to pronounce, but that doesn't mean they're smarter than you. Our God, our Father. We're like his children, and we need to just keep following him. Oh, I got to have him. What changed that? You got a college degree? What changed it? You know, you got some letters behind your name? How does that change your need for God and to just follow him? It doesn't. We're never so smart. We're never so big like a child. We need to hang on and let him lead and follow him, just like we did when we first got saved. I mentioned over and over, because I think about it in my mind, invitation after invitation after invitation after invitation. I mean, it was like, good night. Why does this preacher, doesn't he know any other messages than Doug Rogers is a wicked heathen dog? I mean, surely he has a different message somewhere in his arsenal. Can't he preach on something other than my sin? And so every now and then he preached on my wife's sin. And it was like, are we the only two people sitting in this church? Because it seemed like we were up at the altar all the time. What were we doing? We were just following him. Just, okay, God, you must know what I needed to hear because that is me. Just constant, unmovable, unchanging, following. There's so many unique directions today. Just following him. Following. I mean, really, Independent Baptists, we're kind of a unique bunch. We have been for years. People look at us funny like, huh, what's wrong with you people? I mean, it's been that way for years. But a lot of Independent Baptists have gotten where they don't like that. They don't want to be the peculiar people. They want to be like everybody else and be accepted. That isn't, that Jesus has never been accepted by this world. He never has and he never will be. Understand that the Antichrist is anti-Christ. That's the world leader. And he's not going to accept Jesus. And so anything else is to get their approval is a foolish thing, isn't it? We need to be nice. We need to be kind. We need to be Christian. We need to be go out of our way to do kind things and everything. But we should never compromise who we're following. Like Peter did. He followed Jesus all the way till Jesus was taken prisoner. And then what did Peter do? He started following the other crowd. Right? Yeah, and it wasn't long. And Peter was cursing God. Yeah, we just need to keep following him. Never, never dreamed, honestly, that we would see so many things in independent fundamental Baptist churches. You know, the idea that we, you know, there is no such thing as a dress code. Really? There's not? No. Everything goes. Really? Wow. That is so opposite of what my Bible says about modesty. Modesty, that's in the Bible. Right? Yeah. I used to tease. Honestly, I used to kid around about starting going to Hawaii and starting Bikini Baptist. Everybody laughed. Nowadays, it's like, hey, not a bad idea. Draw a crowd. Idiots. There are so many directions. We just need to follow him. Unmovable. I'm just going to follow him. I want to close with Psalm 57, verse 7. Psalm 57, 7. My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I like that twice there. Don't you like that? My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I like that. How many of you like that? Amen. No, raise your hand if you like that. I can't even see, really. It's just kind of fun to do. I just want to see people. If anybody squirms, it's kind of fun. My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. He said his heart was fixed, right? What's that mean? Does that mean that he just had open heart surgery and it got fixed? I don't think so. I think it means it's unmovable. I'm not going to change. And then he says this, I will sing and give praise. Amen. You know what? Those here tonight, that's why I like the shepherd's ministry. Because honestly, they just don't care what anybody thinks. So many times. Go in there sometime. It's just a lot of fun. They're just not worried about somebody making fun of them if they praise the Lord. If they wave once or they're not worried about what anybody thinks. If it's time to clap, they'll clap. If it's time to sing, they'll sing. If it's time to shout, they'll shout. If it's time to sing off key, they'll sing off key. It doesn't matter. No big deal. Who cares? We're just gonna praise God. Amen. And we're excited about that. And you know, but that's because their heart's fixed. It's not complicated like we make things be. It's not complicated because we have to please all the family. It's not complicated because somebody made fun of us at work. It's not complicated. Just my heart's fixed. He's God. I'm going to sing about him. And if I'm singing about God, I'm going to smile. And if I'm going to smile, I might as well rejoice. And if I'm going to rejoice, I might as well tingle a little bit.
And if I'm going to tingle, I might as well let everybody know that I'm excited. And that's just kind of how it is. And if your heart's fixed, it is how it is. You know, you say, don't you ever sometimes think people might think you're crazy? Peculiar people. I'll tell you what, if I am crazy, I'm having a whole lot of fun. Because I'm going to just keep following him. Unmovable. Unmovable faith, unmovable faithfulness, unmovable friendship, and unmovable following. That's what we need. And that's because we win. Why would we move from the winning position? It's kind of like changing teams, you know, in the middle of the season. Well, my team's not doing so well. Just stick with your team and stick with your Lord. Let's bow our heads, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, please bless the invitation. Have your will in our lives. Work in our hearts and our lives. And I pray some folks would get up from an altar today, get up from a pew today and say, my heart is fixed. I'm more steadfast. I'm more unmovable than I've ever been. I'm not going to move. I'm not going to waver. I'm going to stay true to the Word of God. I'm going to stay true to my salvation. I'm going to stay true to my Lord. And Father, I pray that you'll work in our hearts and that's what our church will be. God, help us not to ever see the day this church is a liberal mess. Lord, help us never to see that day. Too many people have paid too much of a price for Berean Baptist Church to be what it is. Please, God, help us to stay true to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed.